This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
Coming up right now is the Space Show, and don't be alarmed, but there is a different piece of music on tonight, and the reason will become apparent as the show progresses.
Hello, world.
Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I am Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, the happy, sad story of Australia's partly hidden space industry. And yes, there is a new spirit in the sky. Also, the demise of the Mars Climate Orbiter. So, first up, Space Show News. If you were listening to last week's The Space Show, you will have heard us announce the expected launch of a satellite built by Melbourne University's Melbourne Space Laboratory. The launch date and time of the Spirit satellite, and hence the name of the music that we just played, had been kept secret by Melbourne University. University spokeswoman refused to answer our queries about it. So we did our own independent research and concluded that it was likely to be launched on Saturday morning, December the 2nd, on the SpaceX Falcon 9 to be launched from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. The primary payload was a South Korean spy satellite called 425 Project EO/IR. Along for the ride to orbit were 24 other satellites. One of them was Melbourne University's Spirit satellite. On Saturday morning, the university published a press release announcing the launch, but curiously did not send it to media outlets such as Southern FM. Now, in the months before the launch, the Melbourne Space Laboratory posted this feature about their satellite.
My name is Michele Trenti. I'm a professor in the School of Physics and the director of the Melbourne Space Laboratory. Spirit is a shoebox-sized satellite, and a model one-to-one is sitting here next to me. So Spirit will help us to advance our understanding of the vastness of the universe, and in particular about how stars die at the end of their lives. In addition, Spirit will carry multiple cameras, and we're hoping to get some pretty good pictures by looking down at our planet.
My name is Ailey Chapman. I am an associate professor in mechanical engineering and a deputy director of the Melbourne Space Lab. What excites me about the Spirit project is the technological innovations that we're demonstrating. Technology and thermal engineering, real-time communications, and propulsion systems that have never been trialled before. It's an integration of so many different technologies. We're bringing together experts and industries across Australia and combine them together into a shoebox satellite that's going to be launched into space on a rocket.
I'm really excited that in just a few years, we have been able to build a shoebox-sized satellite, which has the potential to still contribute meaningfully and complement in some areas investigations that are traditionally carried out with much bigger satellites. So I'm hoping that Spirit will contribute to the growth of the space industry in this country and grow collaborative links between universities and private companies.
Liftoff of the Falcon 9 rocket with the 25 satellites occurred on Friday, December the 1st at 18:19 Universal Time. Now, that was Saturday, December the 2nd at 5:19 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time.
Falcon 9 is in startup.
There's confirmation that F9 is in startup mode. The internal flight computers have taken over the countdown, and Stage 1 and Stage 2 have begun pressurizing for launch.
LD is go for launch.
With that call out from our launch director, we know that we are go for launch. At just under T-minus 40 seconds, all systems of Falcon 9 are ready for liftoff with our 25 rideshare payloads on.
T-minus 30 seconds. T-minus 15 seconds. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition. Go Korea 425, go SpaceX.
Vehicles pitching downrange.
And that downrange was southwards from Vandenberg, passing to the east of New Zealand and south of Australia. The Spirit satellite was ejected from the Falcon 9's second stage 1 hour and 22 minutes later. Now, Spirit has Spacetrack catalogue number 58467 and COSPAR identifier 2023-185. F. It is making 15.2 revolutions per day, with two potentially visible passes over Melbourne each night. Now, I say potentially visible because I think it's going to be much too faint for the naked eye to see. The orbit has a perigee or low point of 508 kilometres and apogee of 524 kilometres, and it's orbiting at an inclination to the equator of 97.5 degrees. One of the instruments aboard Spirit is a gamma ray detector. This is relevant because the scientists working with the Chandra X-ray Observatory satellite have newly discovered a threat from Earth from supernovae explosions.
Visit Chandra's beautiful universe. Supernova survey. An exploded star can pose more risks to nearby planets than previously thought, according to a new study from NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory and other X-ray telescopes. This newly identified threat involves a phase of intense X-rays that can damage the atmospheres of planets over 100 light-years away. Although Earth is not in danger now, it may have experienced such X-ray exposure in the past. Before this study, most research on the effects of supernova explosions had focused on the danger from two periods: the intense radiation produced by a supernova in the days and months after the explosion, and the energetic particles that arrive hundreds to thousands of years afterward. However, even these alarming threats do not fully catalog the dangers in the wake of an exploded star. researchers have discovered that in between these two previously identified dangers lurks another. The aftermaths of supernovae always produce X-rays, but if the supernova's blast wave strikes dense surrounding gas, it can produce a particularly large dose of X-rays that arrives months to years after the explosion and may last for decades. The calculations in this latest study are based on X-ray observations of 31 supernovae and their aftermath, mostly obtained from NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory, SWIFT and NuSTAR missions, and ESA's XMM Newton. The analysis of these observations shows that there can be lethal consequences from supernovae interacting with their surroundings for planets located as much as about 160 light-years away. If a torrent of X-rays sweeps over a nearby planet, the radiation would severely alter the planet's atmospheric chemistry. For an Earth-like planet, this process could wipe out a significant portion of ozone, which ultimately protects life from the dangerous ultraviolet radiation of its host star. As far as anyone knows, the Earth is not in any danger from an event like this now. However, it may be the case that such events played a role in Earth's past. There is strong evidence, including the detection in different locations around the globe of a radioactive type of iron, that supernovae occurred close to Earth between about 2 and 8 million years ago. Researchers estimate these supernovae were between about 65 and 500 light-years away from Earth. Although the Earth and the solar system are currently in a safe space in terms of potential supernova explosions, many other planets in the Milky Way are not. These high-energy events would effectively shrink the areas within the Milky Way galaxy, known as the Galactic Habitable Zone, where conditions would be conducive for life as we know it. Because the X-ray observations of supernovae are sparse, particularly of the variety that strongly interact with their surroundings, the authors would like to see follow-up observations of interacting supernovae for months and years after the explosion.
One of the technology experiments aboard the Spirit satellite is an Australian-designed and built electric propulsion system from the Canberra-based company Newman Space. This is the second Newman drive to be tested in space. The first was placed into orbit last July aboard an undisclosed Skycraft aeronautical satellite.
We see the evolution of a new space economy. With rapidly evolving technology, a fast approach to innovation, and all accompanied by the need to do things better.
The opportunity for disrupting the way things have always been done. And we are seeing this change right before our eyes, in the form of an exponential increase in the number of satellites in space.
This massive increase is driving the need for technological disruption.
Superior mobility is the answer the new space economy is searching for. And we are ready today delivering a leading propulsion technology in the form of the Newman Drive.
And now we are here, proving our technology in space.
Five, four,
three, it's a huge moment, but two, this is just the start.
One.
What are we doing in space?
We are solving the challenges of the new space economy with a leading capability.
Newman Space, the new standard for in-space electric propulsion.
It is too early to say whether the Newman Drive works as advertised. And this morning, the Space Show received this news from Newman Space in Adelaide, from the Adelaide branch.
Newman Space, a manufacturer of in-space electric propulsion, announced today that Australian government funding will enable it to adapt the Newman Drive for an in-orbit demonstration mission with Spire Global, a provider of space-based data, analytics and space services. Newman Space will use Australian government funding received under this program to work together with Spire on this mission to rapidly adapt, integrate, launch and verify the performance of the next generation Newman Drive onboard one of Spire's proven satellite platforms. The Newman drive incorporates a unique propulsion technology that uses solid metallic propellant to enable superior mobility in space for satellites and spacecraft, including improved safety, efficiency, and the ability for it to be transported and stored fully fueled and integrated. To support the mission, Newman Space and Spire Global today signed a Memorandum of Understanding to advance the development of better in-space propulsion for satellites. The Memorandum of Understanding outlines the company's intent to collaborate on an in-orbit demonstration mission with the integration of the Newman drive on a Spire satellite. Newman Space launched its second propulsion system into space on Saturday and continues to invest in a dedicated program of in-orbit missions over the next 18 months to commercialize its technology.
The University of Melbourne has not made any statement, but a little birdie has told the space show that Spirit is transmitting as intended. Now, the space show has already mentioned that Melbourne University has been very taciturn about reporting progress of the Spirit mission. In print, The Australian, The Age, and The Australian Financial Review had nothing about it, at least nothing that we could see. And the Herald Sun on Sunday's edition had a report on page 8, a short report. Sky News Television had a 50-second mention, and the ABC Depression 24-hour had a report. Sorry, that should be ABC News 24. Well, Spirit, the name of the satellite, the Spirit is now up in the sky, and as far as we're aware, no one has written a song about it, so we're repurposing the song, and it's sung here by Peter Frampton, well, played by Peter Frampton, and sung by William Shatner. This is the Spirit in the Sky.
When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, gonna go up to the Spirit in the sky. Going up to the Spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go when I die. When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. Prepare yourself, you'll know it's a must.
Gotta have a friend in Jesus.
So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the Spirit in the sky. Gonna recommend you to the Spirit in the sky. That's where you're gonna go when you die. When you die and they lay you to rest, you're gonna go to the place that's the best. Never been a sinner, never sinned.
I got a friend in Jesus.
So you know that when I die, he's gonna set me up with the Spirit in the sky. Oh, set me up with the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go when I die. When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm gonna go to the place that's the best. Go to the place that's the best. Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
And if, like William Shatner and Peter Frampton, you believe in a spirit in the sky, this event may well be of interest to you.
Carols by Kingston is on Sunday the 10th of December, so bring your family and enjoy a night out at Bicentennial Park in Chelsea. Look forward to an evening of festive cheer hosted by Rhonda Birchmore with headliners Lucy Durack, Rob Mills and Bobby Fox. Enjoy live performances, kids' activities, food stalls, a community barbecue from Edith Vale Fire Brigade and a magical fireworks finale at 9:30pm. Santa will make an appearance and the kids' Christmas activity area, Santa's Workshop, will be back by popular demand starting at 5pm. If you can't make it to Carols by Kingston at Bicentennial Park on the 10th of December, tune to the live broadcast on 88.3 Southern FM from 6pm to 9pm. For details, visit the Kingston Council website.
Earlier this year, NASA launched its Message in a Bottle campaign, which invites people around the world to sign their names to the poem by Ada Limon. If you, dear Space Show listener, want your name to travel to Jupiter, then point your internet web browser at europa.nasa.gov. Then click on the Message in a Bottle link and then you can enter your name and have your name go to Jupiter. Now, this offer closes on New Year's Eve. So once again, europa.nasa.gov. And in other news, the Australian Moon Rover. Remember we told you that you could enter the competition to name it? Well, the public vote is now in and it's a Roover. Yes, more than 8,000 entries were made for the naming the competition, and it's Roover, R-O-O-V-E-R, Roover. Obviously, you can get the point of what that's all about. This is The Space Show.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.